Welcome to MWBE Times, the podcast dedicated to providing valuable information and best practices about MWBE certifications. Whether you're a minority or woman-owned business or interested in supporting and working with MWBEs, this podcast is for you. Join us as we delve into the world of MWBE certifications, exploring the benefits, challenges, and success stories of businesses that have achieved this prestigious designation. We'll cover a wide range of topics, including the certification process, strategies for growth and development, supplier diversity initiatives, and much more. Stay updated with the latest episodes and resources by visiting us at www.mwbetimes.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MWBE Times. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hello, audience, and thank you for joining us today for another episode of MWBE Times. Today, we are so excited to speak to Karita Tanner Cloud, founder and CEO of Creativity Justified. Welcome to the show, Karita.
Thank you so much, Angelina. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
You know, Karita and I have been chatting a little bit, and honestly, I'm super excited to chat with her today because of her experience, but also because, you know, she has very strong thoughts, right, on really holding corporate America as well as government, you know, holding their feet to the fire and making sure that they're doing the right thing. And we're going to learn today because she's going to talk to us about some of her experiences. So again, I'm definitely looking forward to today. As usual, like to learn a little bit more about you and the company. So provide us with an overview and include when and why it was launched and the services you provide.
Absolutely. So Creativity Justified was launched in 2016, although we were officially registered in our state in 2018. However, we started in 2018. We're an advertising agency based in New Orleans, Louisiana. So yay for us, let the good times roll. We got started because I have a deep, strong passion for marketing and all things creative. And we wanted to be able to bridge a gap that we believed was there for small businesses that could not access affordable marketing, or they were unaware of the audiences that they needed to target or speak to. So we wanted to be able to bridge that gap. And so Creativity Justified was formed. Since then, we have taken off. We started off with website services. We started building websites for small businesses that quickly transitioned. Now we are a full service marketing and advertising agency. We do a lot of media buying, media placement that includes TV, radio, billboards, website design and development, branding and logos. We do a lot of digital marketing as well, social media marketing. So when we say full service advertising and marketing firm, and we're so excited to be in this space because as a women-owned and minority-owned firm, there's not many of us in this advertising space. So it's great to be a part of an industry that we believe that we can bring huge impact to.
So what prompted your decision to obtain an MWBE certification?
More money. So that was the initial thought. It's like, oh gosh, we want to be able to do business because we shifted in 2020. Of course, during 2020, businesses were hit pretty hard, especially small businesses. And with small businesses being our largest customer base, we were hit pretty hard because those small businesses did not have the funds to fund marketing campaigns for their business and things of that nature. And so we quickly realized, oh my gosh, we're going to have to shift. We're going to have to pivot, which is a word that a lot of people learned in 2020. It's like, we're going to have to pivot. We're going to have to broaden our client base. And so we said, we want to do business with corporate. We quickly learned that to do business with corporate, they want to know, you know, are you certified? Do you have those minority or diverse certifications? And so because of that, we said, okay, let's go after it. We don't want to leave any money on the table. And so that is what initially prompted us when we shifted those gears in 2020. We said, okay, let's go ahead, let's grab these certifications. So we went after first our MBE certification, then we went after the WBE and simultaneously went through the WOSB certification process as well. So we secured all three of those certifications in order to be able to do business with corporate, which then shifted us to say, not only do we want to do business with corporate, but we also want to do business with city, state, and federal as well.
Wonderful. There's always the question, and I'm always asked, should I get public sector? Should I get private sector? Which one? And honestly, I said that that's a strategy question, right? And it really does depend on the business, their resources, and their capacity, right? Especially if you're a smaller business and you're new, maybe you just want to start off with one, learn it well, and then expand. But then if you're already, you know, a business that is growing, has the resources and the understanding of really how to not only get the certification, but leverage it, meaning doing outreach and getting contracts, get more. But you really have to know where you are in your process to determine which certifications make sense for you.
Absolutely. I agree. 1000%. I mean, for us, we understood that we want to grab a little bit of both, right? So for us, we had to create capacity, and we did that through building out systems in our business, right? And so I always tell people, to grow a business, you need revenue and you need people and you need systems. Those are three key elements that you need to grow any business before you even approach or begin to approach these corporations or the larger city, state government contracts. There needs to be some strategy behind it. And so for us, we say, you know, we want a good mix between corporate as well as public contracts, because public contracts are normally going to be your larger contracts. They're normally going to have longer terms on those contracts. But we also know that most of us have understood that, especially, I'll say this, I'll speak for Louisiana. Here in Louisiana, our public contracts are generally slower to pay. So you may not get paid out for 30, 45, 60, 90 days. You're carrying that contract. And so when it comes to the question of capacity, you have to have the capacity to sustain that contract while you're waiting to get paid on that contract. And so the way that we're able to do that is also by leveraging the corporate contracts, which we can either get paid on beforehand or 30 days out from the contract, and then also still keeping in our smaller clients as well who are on retainer. That helps to keep the flow of money coming into the agency. So there's definitely strategy behind how you attack it and how you go for it and what's best for your particular organization.
You know, I love that. I've never really heard it being said from that standpoint in terms of taking that kind of a variety of strategies when it comes to your clients for cash flow purposes. But that totally makes sense, right? Yes, we know that smaller retainers keep it going because it's monthly. Corporate, yes, you know, 30, 60, 90, they're pretty good at keeping to that. But yeah, you're right. With government, you know, they might say 30, 60, but it might be 120. It might be more days. And the fact of the matter is a lot of that is reimbursable. So you have to make sure that you submit the appropriate receipts and reporting and auditing so that you can get reimbursed. So it is, I think you're absolutely right and spot on in terms of understanding your client and their pay terms. And also, good to have cash flow in terms of having relationships with financial institutions that can really help you if in case something does take longer than anticipated.
Absolutely. I have a lot of friends that are in this business, a lot of other business owners and entrepreneurs, and we're all, you know, in this world where we're bidding on these contracts. And I spoke with one good friend a couple of weeks ago who said, you know, I'm still waiting to get paid from an invoice 4 months ago. Right? That's the reality of it. And so you have those lines of credit, you have those relationships with your lenders and banks, because here's the thing, your team still has to get paid. They're not going to wait 4 months to get paid because you've had them do the work, right? And so you still have to be able to pay your team. You still have to be able to keep the lights on. You still have to be able to pay those overheads all while waiting on those monies to come. And so it's always a good idea have other cash flow areas within your business so that you're never in a position where you're just, you know, you're waiting, 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 and you don't have the financial capacity to carry the contract. And because a lot of us get into contract and we don't understand that, yes, there are opportunities for small businesses, there are opportunities for DBEs, there are opportunities for small business owners and diverse businesses. But then we also have to build the capacity, especially the larger the contract, the more capacity that you're going to have to create, people capacity, financial capacity, right? You have to have that within your business if you want to be able to carry these contracts.
Perfect. No, I love that. I love that. And that's why I said, if you're small and new, one certification at a time, get your feet wet and learn, right? Because yeah, it's not as easy as it seems. So wonderful. How have you been able to leverage your certification and you know, has it benefit your business specifically? You know, if you could chat with us about some of the contracts you've gotten.
Absolutely. So this, the whole contracting world is a different animal all on its own, without telling folks. But the way that we've been able to leverage it is the first piece is just being relationships. I tell people all the time that people who get the business are the folks that have the relationships. Quite frankly, it's those people that are knocking down those doors, that are being the persistent suppliers and the persistent vendors, and kind of getting in the faces of those corporate folks and saying, hey, I want to do business with your organization. And so over the last, I would say 18 months, our team and specifically myself, we've been emailing, calling, scheduling meetings, really getting in front the faces of the decision makers within these organizations to say, what work do you have? We want to do business. By the way, here's our certifications, right? Because you want to be able to make a strong pitch when you're marketing yourself for the services that you offer. You want to have a strong pitch. You want to have that capability statement, right? Because they're going to ask for that. You want to be able to speak confidently about the services that you offer. And then if you have in your back pocket, oh, by the way, I'm also MBE, WBE, DBE certified, then they're saying, oh, wait, great, because we have money set aside or we have a carve out to do business specifically with those groups of people. And so if you can bring that to the table and have that be a pretty strong piece when you're presenting your business as a whole, then it helps you leverage those relationships and leverage those communications. There are supplier diversity officers out there that have told me, you know, Karita, I don't even schedule meetings with folks until I receive their capability statement and understand what certifications they have. Because if they don't want to invest in themselves or their business enough to get the certifications, why would I then give them a meeting where we're not going to be able to move the conversation forward without them having those things, right? And so it's a leveraging tool that if you use it correctly, right, understand what your capabilities are, understand what services you offer. A lot of times, you know, when we're speaking to these folks, they say, well, what services do you offer? And then we're like, we're spitting out all these millions of things. And they're like, wait. What is it that you're really good at that you can do for our organization, right? They don't want to hear hundreds and hundreds of things that you can do. They want to know what are those few things that you do really well, like extremely well, because now I have to sell you to my organization. I have to sell you to the departments that are going to work with you. I have to, you know, basically be that marketing person on your behalf for my organization so that I can tell them, hey, do business with this vendor or that supplier. And so by you having those certifications, you're able to leverage those conversations, you're able to leverage those relationships. And then once you get the first contract, show up and show up well, right? And if you show up and show up well, now they're saying, wait, Karita, there's more business. This department, we just had a state agency come to us. We're working on the project for them now. And they said, you know, Karita, we actually have another department that needs marketing. Can you help them? Right. And it's because we showed up and we showed up well. And so the contracts that we've gotten, we've worked with some of the larger organizations here in Louisiana. We've worked with Louisiana Department of Health. That was a sole source opportunity. And here's the other thing. I always tell people, people are always watching you. This is very important for small businesses and entrepreneurs. You're always being watched, whether you think you are or not. When we got the sole source opportunity from the Louisiana Department of Health, the marketing team specifically said, Karita, we've been watching your company now for about 12 months. And we love the work that you all are doing. And we want to offer you. And at the time, It started off as a $30,000 contract opportunity. It then moved very quickly within, and I'm saying quickly within a couple of weeks, they said, you know what? We went back, we secured more money. Now the contract is going to be a $75,000 contract for your organization. They weren't looking at any other agencies. It was a sole source opportunity that we were awarded, right? And so it's showing up well and being able to leverage those certifications, because they also knew, because we advertise it on our website, we advertise it on our social media, that we are certified, right? On LinkedIn, we say we are WBE, MBE certified, we are DBE certified. So we name our certifications, we put them on our websites, we proudly show the symbols and the icons and the logos of those institutions that we're certified by, so that when those opportunities present themselves, then they can come our way, right? That people can find us. Another opportunity that we had with Ochsner Health, and that is one of the largest organizations here in Louisiana as far as employment. They employ over 40,000 people. It's a huge organization, huge corporation. And so we remember approaching them. Again, I tell you, I'm that persistent person, and I'm also a risk taker. So I knocked on the door of the chief diversity officer and said, hey, I want to do business with your organization. Who do I need to talk to? Within an hour, was able to be directed to the person that I needed to speak to, send over our capability statement, send over our information. Now, it did take some time in that situation for us to finally begin doing business with them. Because the other thing that we have to realize as small businesses is that depending on the services that you offer, some of these corporations already have businesses that they've been doing business with for over the last 15, 20, 30 years. And now you're a new company coming in saying, oh, by the way, I offer the same type of services and I want to do business. So now they're having to convince those decision makers, convince those department leaders to say, I want you to take a chance on this new organization, although you've been doing great business with this other organization for the past 15, 20 years. And so sometimes those contracts will start off a little bit smaller, because the whole idea is for you to begin to build your portfolio and build your reputation with that organization, so that it'll come to a point where they now say to the other company, you know what, it's been great working with you. What we want you to do is we want you all to work this area, and we're going to pull this company in now to work on this area. But you don't get that immediately, right? It takes work. It takes showing up well, being professional, and that's how we get access to those opportunities.
I love that. I mean, so many great things, you know, to pull out of what you said. But for me, I think the two greatest takeaways are, number one, it took time. You planted those seeds, you watered them, you had patience, and then inevitably, right, they paid off. But you can't give up. You can't think that just because you send one email, that's going to be enough to get you a contract, right? You have to constantly revisit. And then if one way isn't working, go a different route, right? And so that's why you went to the head of diversity, and that's how you were able to make inroads. So I love that. And then the second piece is, yes, about showing up and showing up well, right? This is not a one-off. You want this to grow. You want this relationship to increase, so that every year the budget keeps going up. You get to work with different departments, and you get to really establish this relationship in the long term. Do not think of this in the short term. And that's why it's important to be on time, be on budget, have great customer service, because to your point, they're watching you, right? And there's opportunity for recommendations, for referrals. So take every opportunity as that, an opportunity for now and for the future. So I love those comments. Thank you. Now let's talk about issues or opportunities, depending on how you want to see it, right? So in your opinion, right, what are some current issues with corporate supplier diversity programs? And how do you believe that these programs can be improved for MWBEs?
So I think the two biggest things that shine their light for me as concern within corporate supplier diversity is, number one, they are understaffed, and two, they're underfunded, right? And so normally over the past 2 years, we've reached out to, at this point, over 72 different supplier diversity programs across corporations and entities across the United States. In that time period, we've gotten responses from, I believe, 10 different departments and actually gotten meetings with 6 of them, right? So that just kind of gives you an idea of the number. And it's not that I don't believe that they don't want to do business with suppliers and vendors, but I believe that when you only have one person in an organization committed to working on supplier diversity, and that organization has over 30,000 employees, over 40,000 employees, but this one employee is committed to doing the work of supplier diversity, and they're having to hear, by the way, from over hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of vendors every month, it becomes literally almost impossible for that person to answer every request, to connect that business to opportunities and things of that nature. And so what I tell people is, while going to the supplier diversity leader is a great idea to make an introduction, to understand what that organization's needs are, you also have to find out, depending on the services that you offer. So for instance, if I'm in janitorial, I'm going to look for the person who's over that environmental services team, the chief officer or the director or the program manager, because it's likely that I'm going to get more traction there than going directly to the supply diversity leader because they're already overwhelmed. So that's the first thing. The other thing is also being underfunded or not enough spend is allocated. And so, of course, I remember we chatted and, you know, the reality is that a lot of organizations, especially during the time of the 2020, 2021, there was a lot of diversity things happening, a lot of things in the media that were going on, a lot of concerns in the media. And so because of it, a lot of corporations said, you know, we want to stand up, we want to be for DE&I, or we want to stand up for diversity. And so a lot of organizations kind of went out on this media run to say, we want to do business with people of our community and diverse businesses. Well, they said it, they did a good PR run, a good marketing run, right? But they didn't put many dollars behind it. That's the reality. And there was no budget put in place to say, this is how much spend we're committing to spending with those diverse suppliers. And if they did, there's another thing that happened over these last couple of years. Diversity, equity, and inclusion now took on new meanings, right? And so diversity, equity, and inclusion meant that everybody's thrown into this bucket or this gumbo, since I'm from Louisiana. So everyone's thrown into this gumbo of being called diverse if they are not a straight white man who's not a veteran. You are not a straight white man that's a veteran. You are considered diverse. Congratulations, right? And so because of that, now you have this big pool of people that are now considered diverse. Well, here's the problem with that. Now any organization can say, oh, we're diverse. We spend money with diverse businesses and diverse suppliers and diverse vendors, because we work with all of these different businesses and organizations. So I said, you know, my concern is no longer if an organization is considered diverse or if they have diverse practices in place. What my concern is now is, are they equitable, right? So what happens is that if you're going to say my spend is $100 million a year with diverse suppliers and vendors, and let's just make it easy, right? Let's focus on women right now. So let's just say I'm going to spend $20 million with WBEs. I'm going to spend another $20 million with specific MBEs. And I'm going to tell you why the difference is so important. Because most organizations have a WBE class for women-owned business, but then they also have MBEs. If you're a woman that's not a white Caucasian woman, you are automatically going to be thrown in the minority class, right? So that minority class, either being Asian American, Native American, Black American, Hispanic American, right? You're going to be put in one of those categories. So they're not going to label you initially as WBE, although you're a woman-owned business as well. They want that to count towards their minority spin, okay? And so what I tell organizations is this, that's great because your MBEs really at that point really make up white women, right? Because you're throwing everybody else into this other category. So if you're going to spend $20 million with white American women, I want you also to spend $20 million with Asian American women. I also want you to spend $20 million with Black American women, and so on and so forth, right? That's what we call equitable. That's what we call being equitable, right? But telling me that you spend $100 million with diverse businesses and $98 million went to WBEs that are considered just white women, according to your categories, that doesn't impress me. Because that means that $2 million was split between Asian American, Black American, Native American, and Hispanic American women. And that's not equitable to me, right? And so those are some of the concerns that I see when it comes to corporate supply diversity and how things are looked at. And of course, in that example, I use women, but it's across the board, whether it's LGBTQ, whether it's, you know, veteran-owned businesses, service-disabled businesses, things of that nature. We have to be equitable across the board if we really want to put a dent into closing the racial wealth and health gap across America when it comes to other cultures and other ethnicities.
I echo your sentiment, especially, you know, during the COVID timeframe, a lot of companies raised their hands and said, you know, they wanted to do the right thing. And from a corporate social responsibility, from a DEI standpoint, they implemented programs. But I think you're right. The way in which they implemented it leaves a lot to be desired. And when you really look at the numbers, superficially, they might say, okay, this is great. You know, we spent X amount on diverse vendors, but really when you do a deep dive and you look at who was actually helped, it's not diverse. And I think that that happens in corporate, that also happens in government, for sure here in New York, the city and the state, they're for sure doing deep dives on numbers. Here in New York City, we actually grade each one of our agencies, depending on how they meet each one of those groups that you mentioned. Within woman, right, they analyze what ethnicity, you know, of woman. And even within the M, they analyze under M, what percentage are Asian, what percentage are Hispanic, what percentage are African American. So I think that there is huge opportunity, right? Because yeah, sometimes it might be, for whatever reason, it's maybe easier or it's just been lower hanging fruit to interact with and to give contracts to one group versus another. Not intentionally, but I think that that's the whole point. There has to be an intentionality, right? There has to be a focus on making sure that the program is being done in a way that makes sense and is equitable, because if you're doing it, let's do it right, right? So I think that there's absolutely opportunity for them to really dig deep and make sure that you're right, that they have enough people doing the program and that they're actually doing the program in a way that's beneficial to all the different groups. So echo your sentiment. So our last question is going to be now regarding MWBE businesses, right? Especially that a huge chunk of who your clients are, small businesses. I'm sure you get an opportunity to really see some of the great things they're doing and discuss some of the opportunities. So what are some strategies that you would recommend to MWBE certified businesses when it comes to increasing the chances of securing a contract, right? And are there any specific actions or approaches that you feel, you know, work better than others or have worked for you?
Absolutely. So having worked with tons of small businesses and specifically minority-owned and women-owned businesses, I've seen a lot across the board. Obviously, everyone wants to do business at a larger scale, right? They want to do business with the corporations, with the agencies, with the public entities. There's a way that you have to, there's a strategy, there's an approach, there's a way that you have to go about getting yourself aligned to do business in those arenas. The first thing I'll speak to is the way that you show up. First impressions, just like in life, mean everything. You know, there's this huge thing on social media. Everyone wants to be their authentic self. And I love that as a creative. I want people to be authentically themselves. But I also want people to understand that there's a way that we do business. There's a way that you have to show up to do business. And if you want people to respect who you are, if you want people to respect your business, if you want people to respect the value that you can bring to their organization, you have to understand that you have to show up in a certain light. That judging a book by its cover, you will be judged by the cover that you have. And when you want to do business at that level, understand that they've been working with vendors and suppliers since the inception of that organization, right? For 20, 30, 40, 100 years. And so what makes me want to do business with you if you don't even care enough about yourself to show up in the correct way? So example of things like that is your email address, right? Having a professional domain-based email. I had a procurement officer at one of the largest utility companies here in Louisiana, Entergy. And he said, you know, the funny thing is if they email me with a Gmail or Yahoo or an AOL email, I'm not responding. If you don't value your business enough to go and pay $6 a month or $12 a month for a domain-based email, we can't do business, right? And that's the reality. There's a cost to doing business. The NFL Super Bowl is coming here to New Orleans next year. Sitting in that room with those procurement officials in that room telling us about the opportunities that are going to be available in our area for that NFL Super Bowl, she said, you know, there's a reasonable cost to doing business. We're not asking you to spend money. We are saying that if you want to show up well, if you want to be considered to be part of the suppliers that we're doing business with, you have to show up well, right? Having a phone number that's being answered. They shouldn't be calling your cell phone number and, you know, your kids are running around in the background or, you know, your voicemail is not set up or it's not being responded to, you know, 24 to 48 hours. There should be some sort of response. Answering emails correctly, you know, understanding what your true capabilities are as a business, having that capability statement set up, knowing your NICS codes, knowing your product codes, knowing what you actually offer and being able to have a pitch or a statement or something to be able, an elevator pitch to say, this is what I do and speaking to it confidently, right? So those are all things that you're going to need to have. You're going to need to know how to build relationships. I know this is really difficult, especially for our introverted folk, which I would consider myself very introverted. I am a person that loves to be on my couch watching Netflix or reading a book. But I understood that in this space of business, it's going to require me getting out there. It's going to require me to get a little bit uncomfortable, right? And success comes when we're most uncomfortable, right? It's not a comfortable place to be in. Understanding that I have to work on my delivery, my speech, my tone, my approach, right? Knowing how to work the room. When there are procurement events in your city, go to them. Build those relationships. Make eye contact, right? Bring your business cards. I know we're in a digital savvy world and I consider myself one of the most techie people. I have the digital business cards as well, but it's nothing like showing up and giving something, giving someone a business card in their hand because they're going to put it in their pocket and later that day, they're going to pull that business card out and say, oh, wow, yes, I remember that they spoke. My picture is even on my business card. So it's a reminder of this is who you spoke with when we were at this event. And so things like that, having your website set up, making it easy for people to navigate your website, right? Making it easy for people to understand the services that you're providing. I shouldn't go to your website and still within the first 30 seconds, I'm trying to figure out what is it that you actually do? What do you actually do? Make it easy for the visitor that's going to visit your website to understand what your capabilities are. So it's things like that that help to set you up for success. Leaning on other folks within your industry. And a lot of people think that, you know, why would I reach out to a competitor? Why would I reach out, you know, why would I reach out to another advertising agency and try to befriend them or things like that? Because it's smart to do. Because the reality is, I built relationships within the last 6 months with 8A certified advertising agencies that are in my state, with women-owned advertising agencies that are in my state, with other minority-owned advertising agencies, and with non-minority-owned and non-diverse advertising agencies. Why? Because it's all about relationship, right? So once I secured some of my certifications, specifically here in Louisiana, having a DBE certification, now I get calls from all over the country saying, hey, we want to bid on this contract in New Orleans. They have a DBE participation requirement of 35%. Will you come on this contract with us? Right? That's not me going look for the business. The business is now coming to look for me. Again, being set up correctly, being able to be visible online, having our certifications show on our website, these are all things that help people say, wow, this is a good business to align with and do business with. And even when you're on those joint venture contracts, or you're on those contracts where you're the subcontractor, or you're the, you know, smaller percentage of the contract, still show up well. Show up well, because that's going to get that organization to continue to call on you. And it may not seem, you think, oh, subcontract, I'm not going to make a lot of money. The reality is that if it's a $2 million contract and you're 35% minimum, and also don't be scared to negotiate, because you can negotiate, even though that's the minimum, you don't have to take the minimum, you can negotiate. So you can say, well, no, I want 40%. And so when you are 40% on that contract, if it's a $1 million contract, you're at 40%, that's $400,000. And for a small business, making $400,000 is probably a big win for that small business, right? And so it's building those relationships. Let's not look at everything as competition, because guess what? There might be an area as an advertising agency that you're better at and that you have a more strength in or more experience in. I may have more experience in another area. And so we can then collaborate. And so when we joint venture on these contracts, our past experience looks really good. And we get awarded the contract because we were able to bring those past experiences together. And so being able to show up well professionally, understanding your industry, understanding your market, not being afraid to connect with those, network, and being able to secure contracts for your organization.
You know, it's funny, I worked at Pepsi many, many moons ago. And at that point, Indra Nooyen was still CEO, and she would always talk about bringing your whole self to work, right? But the reality is, we know what that is, right? Yes, you are bringing certain aspects of yourself to work, but you know, obviously, you know, you have to do it with practicality in mind, right? And also understanding that people are who they are and people are going to judge. So yes, I 1000%, you know, agree with you that yes, it's all about being authentic, but it's also about understanding that this is still a professional setting. So whether it's fixing your hair, putting makeup on, wearing professional clothing, people do judge a book by its cover. It's unfortunate and it's true. And especially when, yes, you are a small business owner and you are in control of your business. But the fact of the matter is, you also have to get contracts and you have to get business too. So it's a two-way street. But for sure, being professional, having a professional website, I concur with you 100% about emails and your email addresses, your capability statement, that being on point, your website being on point. This morning I was coaching someone and I got very confused about their website. And honestly, it shouldn't take that much explaining for me to get it, right? And I said that at one point in a nice way. I'm like, I'm getting so many different messages from your funnel to your sign up page, and then not being able to go back to your website, which by the way, is not mobile friendly. So things like that, you're absolutely right. You want to make it as simple as possible to get to the yes. Yes, I'll give you a contract. Yes, we want to work with you. You have to meet the middle ground. And you're absolutely right. Having your elevator speech, understanding the services you provide, not making it convoluted. Like I said, that website where I'm still scratching my head in terms of all the different things that are going on there. You want to make it simple to the yes. And then the last point I want to say, which I 1000% agree on, is not seeing other businesses as competition, but seeing them as potential business partners, allies, VCs, you name it, right? Especially when you're a small business owner, you don't really have the volume, right? You don't have economies of scale that a bigger company might have. So fine, you might end up making less money in certain aspects of the contract, but you might end up making more because you're getting better pricing. And that's just one small example of many examples of why it makes sense to work with others. You're absolutely right. I get, even though sometimes I'm like, an IT person is reaching out to a marketing person when they reach out to me, but they're interested in responding to contracts in New York State. And they're letting me know that a certain percentage of the contract requires MWBE and if I would want to participate, right? So you're absolutely right. There comes a point where it's not just about being offensive, but in defense, people are coming to you and wanting to work with you. So there's different ways of seeing these certifications. But again, it takes a strategic lens and having an understanding of all the different opportunities that are out there. So thank you so much. I loved everything you said. It's coming to that time. I cannot believe how quickly this interview went. You know, I generally like to keep them within a certain, you know, time frame. But you know what I love about you, Karita? It's your practicality. And you know what? I consider myself quite the practical person too. And you just provided so much actionable knowledge, and the way that you explain things, it just makes sense, business sense, right? Because in the end, we're here to make money and this should make sense, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I've always been that way when I'm invited to speak at different events. I said, listen, I'm not the one that's going to be here to motivate you and inspire you, although I hope that you're motivated and inspired, but I'm here to give you actionable insight that you can start putting in your business and implementing in your business today to start seeing results. Right. And that's what it's all about, because it's great to inspire. It's great to motivate and uplift folks. But then once that feeling subsides, what are they left with? Are they left with anything that they can do anything with? Right. And so I think that's key for me, is actionable resources where they can actually implement what's being talked about so that they can get this money. They can get the contract that they're looking for.
Love it. Tangible, true advice. I'm here for it. So. Oh my God, Karita Tanner-Cloud, founder, CEO of Creativity Justified. You are amazing. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. You were great. Loved all of your answers and all of your explanations, and you're a rock star. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Angelina. The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. And until next time, you know, this is MWBE Times. Look forward to you listening to our show.
Thanks for tuning in. Stay connected and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MWBE Times. And visit our website at www.amblin.nyc. Till next time, let's access and connect.